Hey, that's right. But why wear you your leek todays, and Davy's day is past?
There is occasions and causes why and wherefore in all things. I will tell you, as my friend Captain Gower, the rascally, scald, beggarly, lousy, pragging nay pistol, which you and yourself and all the world know to be a man of no merits, he has come to me yesterday and brings me bread and salt and bids me eat my leek. It was in a place where I could bear no contention with him. But I'll be so bold as to wear my leek in my cap till I see him again. And then I will tell him a little piece of my desires.
Here he comes, swelling like a turkey cock.
There's no matter for his swellings nor his turkey cocks. God bless you, ancient pistol, you scurvy, lousy knave. God bless you.
Ha! Art thou bedlam? Wouldst thou have me fold up Parker's fatal web? Hence, I am qualmish of the smell of leek.
I beseech you heartily, scurvy, lousy knave, of my requests and my petitions and my desires to eat, look you, this leek. Because, look you, you do not love it, nor your affections and your appetites and your digestions does not agree with it. I would desire you, therefore, to eat it.
Not for Cadwallader and all his goats. Ow!
There is one goat for you. Will you be so good, scald knave, as eat it?
By Stryon, I shall die.
You say very true, scald knave, when God's will is. I would desire you to live in the meantime and eat your victuals. Come, there is sauce for it. Bite, I pray you. It's good for your green wound and your bloody coxcomb.
Must I bite?
Yes, certainly. Out of doubt and out of question, too. And ambiguities.
By this leak, I will be most horribly revenged. I swear.
Eat, I pray you. Will you have more sauce to your leak? I have another leak in my pocket. There's not enough leek to swear by.
Quiet the cudgel, let us see, I eat.
Much good do you heartily, scald knave. Throw none away. Skin is good for your broken coxcomb. God by you, and keep you, and heal your pate.
Doth fortune play the hussif with me now? News have I. My Nell is dead in the spittle of a malady of France. And there my rendezvous is quite cut off. Oh, do I wax from my weary limbs. Honor is cudgel. Bored I'll turn, and something lean to cutpurse of quick hand. To England will I steal, and there I'll steal, and patches will I get under these scars, and say I got them in the galley walls.
Peace to this meeting, wherefore we are met. Unto our brother France and to our sister, health and fair time of day. Joy and good wishes to our most fair and princely cousin Catherine. And as a branch and member of this royalty, by whom this great assembly is contrived, we do salute you, Duke of Burgundy. And princes French and peers, health to you all.
And right joyous are we to behold your face. Most worthy brother England, fairly met. And so are you, Princess English, everyone.
So happy be the issue, brother England, of this good day and of this gracious meeting, as we are now glad to behold your eyes. Your eyes, which hitherto have borne in them against the French that met them in their bent, the fatal balls of murdering basilisks. The venom of such looks, we fairly hope, have lost their quality. And that this day shall change all griefs and quarrels into love.
To cry amen to that, thus we appear.
You English princes all, I do salute you.
My duty to you both on equal love, great kings of France and England, that I have labored with all my wits, my pains, and strong endeavors to bring your most imperial majesties unto this bar and royal interview, your mightiness on both parts best can witness. Since then, my office hath so far prevailed that face to face and royal eye to eye you have congreted, let it not disgrace me if I demand, before this royal view, what rub or what impediment there is. Why, that the naked, poor, and mangled peace, dear nurse of arts, plenties, and joyful births, should not, in this best garden of the world, our fertile France, put up her lovely visage. Alas, from France, she hath too long been chaste, and all her husbandry doth lie on heaps, corrupting in its own fertility. Her vine, the merry cheer of the heart unpruned, dies, her hedges even bleached, like prisoners wildly overgrown with hair, put forth disordered twigs. Her fallow lees, the darnel, hemlock, and rank fumitory doth root upon, while that the coulter rusts that should deracinate such savagery. The even mead that erst brought sweetly forth, the freckled cowslip, burnet, and green clover, wanting the scythe, all uncorrected rank conceives by idleness, and nothing teems but hateful docks, rough thistles, kexes, burrs, losing both beauty and utility. And as our vineyards, fallows, meads, and hedges, defective in their natures, grow to wildness, even so our houses and ourselves and children have lost or do not learn for want of time the sciences that should become our country, but grow like savages, as soldiers will, that nothing do but meditate on blood, to swearing and stern looks, diffused attire, and everything that seems unnatural, which to reduce unto our former favor you are assembled. And my speech entreats that I may know the let, why gentle peace should not expel these inconveniences, and bless us with her former qualities.
If Duke of Burgundy would the peace, whose want gives growth to the imperfections which you have cited, you must buy that peace with full accord to all our just demands, whose tenors and particular effects you have in schedule briefly in your hands.
The king hath heard them, to the which as yet there is no answer made.
Well then, the peace which you before so urged lies in his answer.
I have but with a cursory eye glancy articles. Pleases your grace to appoint some of your council presently to sit with us once more with better heed to resurvey them. And we will suddenly pass our accept and peremptory answer.
Brother, we shall. Go, Uncle Exeter, and Brother Clarence, and you, Brother Gloucester, and Warwick too. Go with the king and take with you free power to ratify, augment, or alter, as your wisdom's best shall see advantageable for our dignity, anything in or out of our demands, and we'll consign thereto. Will you, fair sister, go with the princes, or stay here with us?
Our gracious brother, I will go with them. Haply a woman's voice may do some good when articles too nicely urged be stood on.
Yet leave our cousin Catherine here with us. She is our capital demand, comprised within the fore rank of our articles.
She
hath
good
need. Fair Catherine, and most fair, will you vouchsafe to teach a soldier terms such as will enter at a lady's ear and plead his love suit to her gentle heart?
Your Majesty shall mock at me. I cannot speak your England.
Oh, fair Catherine, if you will love me soundly with your French heart, I'll be glad to hear you confess it brokenly with your English tongue. Do you like me, Kate?
Pardonnez-moi, I cannot tell what is like me.
An angel is like you, Kate, and you are like an angel.
Que dit-il? Que je suis semblable à les anges?
Oui, vraiment, sauf votre grâce. Ainsi dit-il.
I said so, dear Catherine, and I must not blush to affirm it.
Oh, bon Dieu. Les langues des hommes sont pleines de tromperies.
What says she? Fair one. The tongues of men are full of deceits.
Oui, that the tongues of the men is be full of deceit. That is the princess.
The princess is the better Englishwoman. Faith, Kate, my wooing is fit for thy understanding. I'm glad thou canst speak no better English. For if thou couldst, thou would find me such a plain king, thou would think I'd sold my farm to buy my crown. I know no ways to mince it in love, but directly to say, I love you. Then if you urge me farther than to say, do you, if faith, I wear out my suit. Give me your answer, if faith do, and so clap hands in a bargain. How say you, lady?
So, votre honneur, me understand well.
Marry, if you would put me to verses, or to dance for your sake, Kate. Why, you undid me. For the one, I have neither words nor measure. The other, I have no strength in measure. Yet a reasonable measure in strength. If I could win a lady at leapfrog, or by vaulting into my saddle with my armor on my back, under correction of bragging, be it spoke, I should quickly leap into a wife. Or if I might buffet for my love, or bound my horse for her favors, I could lay on like a butcher, sit like a jackanapes never off. But before God, Kate, I could not look greenly, nor gasp out my eloquence. Nor have I no cunning in protestation, only downright oaths, which I never use till urged, nor never break for urging. If thou canst love a fellow of this temper, Kate, whose face is not worth sunburning, who never looks in his glass for love of anything he sees there, let thine eye be thy cook. I speak to thee, plain soldier. If thou canst love me for this, take me. If not, to say to thee that I shall die is true. But for thy love, by the Lord, no. And yet I love thee too. Whilst thou livest, dear Kate, take a fellow of plain and uncoined constancy, for he perforce must do thee right, because he hath not the gift to woo in other places. These fellows of infinite tongue that can rhyme themselves into ladies' favors, they do always reason themselves out again. What? A speaker is but a prater? A rhyme is but a ballad? A good leg will fall. Straight back will stoop. A black beard will turn white. Curled pate will grow bald. A fair face will wither, and a full eye wax hollow. But a good heart, Kate, is the sun and moon. Or rather the sun and not the moon. For it shines bright, never changes, but keeps his course truly. If thou wouldst have such a one, take me. And take me, take a soldier. Take a soldier, take a king. What sayst thou then to my love? Speak, my fair, and fairly, I pray thee.
Is it possible that I should love the enemy of France?
No, it is not possible that you should love the enemy of France, Kate. But in loving me, you should love the friend of France. For I love France so well, I will not part with a village of it. I will have it all mine. Kate, when France is mine, and I am yours, then yours is France, and you are mine.
I cannot tell what is that.
No, Kate. I will tell thee in French, which I am sure will hang upon my tongue as a newly married wife about her husband's neck, hardly to be shook off. Je prends sur la possession de France, et quand vous avez la possession de moi, let me see, what then?
Sir Dennis, be my speed.
Donc, votre est France et vous êtes mienne. It is as easy for me, Kate, to conquer the kingdom as to speak so much more French. I shall never move thee in French, Kate, unless it be to laugh at me. But dost thou understand thus much English? Canst thou love me?
I cannot tell.
Can any of your neighbors tell, Kate? I'll ask them. Come, I know thou lovest me. And at night, when you come into your closet, you'll question this gentlewoman about me. And I know, Kate, you will to her dispraise those parts in me you love with your heart. But could Kate mock me mercifully? The rather, gentle princess, because I love thee cruelly. If ever thou be'st mine, as I have a saving faith within me, tells me thou shalt, I get thee with scambling. Thou must therefore needs prove a good soldier breeder. Shall not thou and I, between St. Denis and St. George, compound a boy, half French, half English, shall go to Constantinople and take the Turk by the beard, shall we not? What sayest thou, my fair flower de luxe?
I do not know that.
No, 'tis hereafter to know. But now to promise. Do but now promise, kid, you will endeavor for your French part of such a boy. And for my English moiety, take the word of a king and a bachelor. How answer you? La plus belle Catherine du monde. Mon très cher et divine déesse.
Your Majesty have false French enough to deceive the most sage demoiselle that is en France.
Well, fie upon my false French, by mine honor, in true English. I love thee, Kate. By which honor, I dare not swear thou lovest me, if my blood begins to flatter me that thou dost. Therefore tell me, most fair Catherine, will you have me? Put off your maiden blushes, avouch the thoughts of your heart with the looks of an empress. Take me by the hand and say, Harry of England, I am thine. Which word thou shalt no sooner bless my ear withal, but I shall tell thee aloud. England is thine. Ireland is thine. France is thine. And Henry Plantagenet is thine. And though I speak it before his face, if it be not fellow with the best king, I shall find the best king of good fellows. Come, your answer in broken music, for thy voice is music. My English broken. Therefore, queen of all, Catherine, break thy mind to me in broken English. Wilt thou have me?
That is as it shall please to roi mon père.
Nay, it will please him well, Kate. It shall please him, Kate.
Then it shall also content me.
Upon that, I kiss your hand and call you my queen.
Laissez, monseigneur, laissez, laissez. Je ne veux point que vous abaissiez votre grandeur en baisant la main d'une notre Seigneur, indigne serviteur. Excusez-moi. Je vous supplie, mon très puissant Seigneur.
Then I will kiss your lips, Kate.
Les demoiselles et dames pourraient être baisées devant leurs noces, il n'est pas la coutume de France.
Madam, my interpreter, what says she?
That it is not be the fashion pour les ladies of France. I cannot tell what is baiser en English.
To kiss.
Your Majesty entend better que moi.
It is not a fashion for the maids in France to kiss before they are married, would she say?
Oui, vraiment.
Oh, Kate. Nice customs curtsy to great kings. Dear Kate, you and I cannot be confined within the weak list of a country's fashion. We're the makers of manners, Kate. The liberty that follows our places stops the mouth of all fine folk. As I will do yours for upholding the nice fashion of your country and denying me a kiss. Therefore, patiently and yielding, you have witchcraft in your lips, Kate. There is more eloquence in a sugar touch of them than the tongues of the French council. And they should sooner persuade Henry of England than a general petition of mine. Here comes your father.
God save your Majesty. My royal cousin, teach you our princess English?
I would have her learn, my fair cousin, how perfectly I love her. And that is good English.
We have consented to all terms of reason.
Is so, my lords of England?
The king hath granted every article. His daughter first, and then in sequel all according to their firm proposed natures.
Take her, fair son, and from her blood raise up issue to me, that the contending kingdoms of France and England, whose very shores look pale with envy of each other's happiness, may cease their hatred, and this dear conjunction plant neighborhood and Christian-like accord in their sweet bosoms, that never war advance his beating sword twixt England and fair France.
Amen. Amen. Welcome, Kate, and bear me witness all that here I kiss her as my sovereign queen.
God, the best maker of all marriages, combine your hearts in one, your realms in one. As man and wife being two are one in love, so be there twixt your kingdom such a spousal that never may ill office or fell jealousy, which troubles off the bed of blessed marriage, thrust in between the passion of these kingdoms to make divorce of their incorporate league, that English may as French, French Englishmen, receive each other. God speak this. Amen.
Amen. Prepare we for our marriage, on which day my lord of Burgundy will take your oath, and all the peers for surety of our leagues. Then shall I swear to Kate, and you to me, and may our oaths well kept and prosperous be.
Thus far, with rough and all unable pen, our bending author hath pursued the story. In little room confining mighty men, mangling by starts the full course of their glory. Small time, but in that small most greatly lived this star of England. Fortune made his sword, by which the world's best garden he achieved, and of it left his son, imperial lord, Henry the Sixth, in infant bands, crowned king of France and England, did this king succeed. Whose state so many had the managing, that they lost France, and made his England bleed, which oft our stage hath shown. And for their sake, in your fair minds, let this acceptance take.